Everybody, let's get this show on the road, huh? All right, let's pray, and then you can dig in. God, thank you so much for these kids. We thank you for this wonderful day. I pray that you open up their hearts to see how glorious this day is and how wonderful every day is that we get to be called your children. So help them to enjoy this chocolate to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. You're welcome. You are welcome. Now you can go. Thanks for coming up. You can have it. You want me to take it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here, you take this. There. Here you go. All right, I'll take. Yeah, just take them all. I'm supposed to let all you big kids know that there's cake and cupcakes there in the back. What a day, huh? You didn't know you were coming and snacking the whole day? And if you don't take it with you, then Taylor has to take it all. Was that what I was supposed to say? All right. Good. All right. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. We gather today, especially today, we gather every day to celebrate the resurrection. And we can simply refer to, just as we refer to it as the birth, we can call it the resurrection because it is the only documented historical instance of someone rising from the dead, never to die again. So that's pretty special. So we can call it the resurrection. Let's turn to John chapter 20 and read about it. John chapter 20. It says, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in and saw, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. You may have life in his name. What does that mean? What does that mean to have life in his name? And if we have that life, what is that life supposed to look like? That's nice that I read that and then the sun starts popping out, right? That's the question today. The answer, you can go ahead and turn now into Romans chapter 6. I've missed it. We've been in Matthew for a few weeks now, so I thought it was fitting that we go back to Romans. Romans 6, verse 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So some background from how Paul got here. In Romans, he spent all of Romans up until this point giving the gospel, right? That all mankind, every single one of us, have sinned against God. We are called to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. we can all examine ourselves and know that we haven't done that, right? We haven't done that today. We've sinned against God, and we've sinned against God in many ways. And we all then deserve the wrath of God. And God will judge all sin, right? All sin will be paid for, either on the cross or eternally in hell. And nothing we can do can save us from our sins. We can't do enough good works. We're foolish to think that we can. We give too much credit to the works that we do, and we give not enough credit to the sin that we've committed. So our works can't save us. Only Jesus was righteous enough, lived the righteous, holy, perfect life, died the death on the cross for our sins, taking the punishment on the cross for us. So we then must believe. And how we are saved is by believing that he died for your sins on the cross. That's what Paul has been going to on this point. And when that happens, you are put in right standing in God's eyes. We call it justified, right? We are put in right standing by faith alone. Not anything we can do. Your baptism doesn't do it. Any coming here, reading your Bible, any religious activities, no matter how good you are or how much you donate, nothing you can do can put you in right standing with God except for believing that Jesus died for your sins. Having faith. That's what does it. So we are justified. We are put in right standing by believing. And then God counts that believing as being righteous. He does the great exchange. We talked about this on Friday. By the way, let me completely go way off the subject. The singing has been awesome the last couple of days, right? Today and on Friday, it was amazing too. You can listen to it online. We recorded that. Wonderful. No pressure. Keep it up. Okay? Keep it up. Okay. Way off. Come back. So, the great exchange, okay? Jesus lived the righteous life we should have lived. So, he took the punishment for sins that we deserve. So, there was an exchange. We are counted as righteous, and God counted our sins as if they were his on the cross, right? He exchanged those. That's what he paid for on the cross. And we have to believe, right? And so all of this forgiveness, all of this put in right standing, all of this new heart to eyes open to God, to seeing his glory, all of this happens by God's grace, means his unmerited favor. Nothing we did to earn God's grace. Showing up here to church, reading our Bibles, all those things. Nothing earns us God's favor. It simply pours it out on us. And that's amazing. Right? Nothing we could do, and so nothing we have done. So it's all by grace, not a result of any works, because if there was something you did in order for God to show his favor to you, then you would have a reason to boast, right? We could say, I did this. I believed. I'm the one that did it. What's the difference between me and my unbelieving neighbor? Well, I did this. But it's not. That's not how it works. It was God's grace. It was God's favor. So no one can boast. So we are saved by God's grace alone. Not God's grace in any of our works, but all of God's grace. And it happens by means of faith alone. Just believing. Just believing that Jesus died for your sins, not anything else. And it's in Christ alone. It's not Jesus and me, or Jesus and Mary, or Jesus and any other saints, or any other things like that. It was Jesus who did it all, and therefore it is to God's glory alone. No one else gets the glory in our salvation. No one else gets the glory because of the cross and because of the empty tomb, but Jesus alone. And so that's what Paul has gotten to today. And he says, then because of that, all life then is lived in God's grace. We still, after we're saved, You don't earn God's love. You don't earn God's favor. You don't earn God's mercy and God's forgiveness or anything like that after you've been saved. It didn't start like that. It doesn't continue like that. It's still all by grace. Everything is by God's grace, right? For God's glory. And so the idea that Paul was getting at is, well, if God receives more glory because of the grace shown to me, then should I just sin more so that I get more grace and mercy and forgiveness shown to me? It'll make God more glorious. And that's where Paul is in this passage of Romans, right? So he says again, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So the answer then that he continues is he ties this to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's where he is going with this. And the rest of the passage is going to explain why we don't live like that. Okay? Why we shouldn't presume upon God's grace. Go ahead and sin. I'm saved. Jesus died for my sins. It's not a big deal to God if I sin, right? This is why Paul's answer to that kind of thinking, why we shouldn't think like that, okay, ties it to Jesus' death and resurrection. In verse 3, he says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus, who brought Jesus from death to life, the whole reason we are celebrating today, does something amazing in that great exchange for us. The Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus Christ once and forever in that moment. From then on, whenever the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. Has anybody ever felt like God is disappointed in you? Fed up, right? Well, that's not how the Bible describes it. It's kind of like an Easter egg. You say, well, Pastor, that is not something you should be talking about. There's an egg, right? And Jesus is like the shell around us. We don't see what's inside of an egg. We see the shell. And that's what God sees when he sees us. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the beauty of Jesus. And he looks on us in that way because we're united to Jesus. And this is something we don't talk about enough because it's absolutely amazing. Yes, do we need to grow? Yes, do we need to continue to grow in holiness? And do we need to seek forgiveness when we've done wrong? But we should never think that the Father looks at us like he used to look at us when we were his enemies. That would diminish the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and what the Holy Spirit has done. So we are united to Jesus. His death is tied to the death of our sins. His death is tied to the death of our slavery to sin. And Paul relates this to our baptism. Now, this word baptism means immersion. Okay, that's what it literally means. It means immersion. Paul is saying that we have been immersed into the death of Jesus, right? Fully immersed into the death of Jesus. And there is no part of our sin that is unimmersed. That's a word. It's a word today because I'm going to say it again. Okay, that's why in baptism we baptize believers only, because only believers have been immersed into Jesus. Only believers are fully encompassed, united to Christ. That's why baptism, why we do a full immersion as well. It's the example that Jesus gave us, and it signifies that all of our sins are united to the death of Jesus. Baptism itself doesn't wash away your sins. If it did, I would hold you under a little bit longer than I do. I would still probably be under, right? But that's not what it does. All of our enslavement to sin, right, is immersed into the death of Jesus, not leaving any of it unimmersed. So we are united to Christ in his death. And then we see with the rest of the passage that now, because Jesus didn't stay dead in the tomb, we are not dead in our old self, in our old sins, any longer. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. If this has happened, this is what Paul is saying. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, if you believe that you have been united to him by the Holy Spirit through that great exchange, if you believe that the Holy Spirit has buried your sins and your enslavement to sins with Jesus, you believe that happened for you, right? We talk all the time about our forgiveness and the cross and how Jesus died for my sins, right? We do. We talk about that. We should talk about it. It's wonderful. What Paul's saying is, well, he didn't stay dead. And so just as he's risen and just as we celebrate that, that means something for you too. We also must believe that just as Jesus didn't stay dead but is alive, we are now alive with him. That's the reason why I raised you out of the water. Right? Your sins are dead, buried with him in the likeness of his death. And what do I say? Risen to walk in newness of life. There are many blessings. There are many benefits. There are many important reasons that was accomplished with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we give him all honor. And we give him all praise. And we give him all glory. And we should never, we have to fight. We hear these stories all the time, right? Some of you have heard them since childhood. And we get used to them. We think, resurrection, yeah, today's the resurrection. You know, he rose from the dead. Wait a minute there. Just pause and think about what we're saying. The resurrection, right? So we give him all praise and we give him all glory and we give him honor. But this is one of the benefits. When I say he is risen, you say, yeah, you're trained to say that. Yeah, if you weren't trained before today, now you know. But in saying that, you're also saying, I am risen indeed with him. I am alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17, my favorite verse in the Bible, says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So just like Jesus will never die again, you will never go back to being enslaved to sin. Never go back to the old self. Now let me tell you, Satan will try hard to convince you that you are going back. He will try hard to convince you that nothing has changed. He will try hard to convince you maybe that you weren't even really saved. That's talking about someone else. He's got all the tricks in the book. But the truth is, you must consider yourself alive to Christ. That's not who I am anymore. That's not who you are anymore. That's who you were. That's not who you are anymore because of Jesus. If we are saying, I can go back to being enslaved to sin, then we are saying that Jesus can go back in the tomb. And that's silly. So just like you were dead in your sins, you are now alive to God in Christ Jesus. And you must think then of sin as being dead to you. I'm dead to that. I'm dead. That's not who I am. I'm alive to Christ. And when you struggle and when you're tempted, this is how you fight. Not if I put this measure in place, if I put this measure in place, the thing you say is you speak biblical truth. That's not who I am. I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. He has risen indeed. The tomb is empty. He walked out of that grave and he brought you with him. So some quick application here. John MacArthur said, Jesus' Good Friday was my Good Friday and Jesus' Easter was my Easter. I am one with him. So you must remember that you are united with Christ. United with Christ. Think on that. Pray on that. Contemplate what that means for you. Second point is that you are united to him in his death. So I must consider my sins dead. They are no longer my master. I no longer submit to them. Third, resurrection life starts at salvation. You are new in Christ, so consider yourself alive. This is the significance of baptism. We're saying, this has happened to me. Jesus has died for my sins. I am alive. And so when we do the baptism, you're shouting that to the whole world. This is who I am. This is my new self. And you're asking everybody who witnesses to help me with this and keep me accountable and walk along with me and remind me of this truth. And that's the truth. And that's what Paul's talking about here today. So then, fourth, live like you are alive to God in Christ Jesus, alive to his glory, alive to his majesty and his splendor, alive to his work in your life and the life of others, alive to his teaching, alive to his promises, alive to his hope and his return, alive to forever with Jesus eternally. So therefore, because you are new, because you are alive, then love like Jesus has loved you. Have the kind of joy that Jesus has, the peace like Jesus has, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control. Be merciful as he's been merciful with you. Be forgiving as he has been forgiving with you, and compassionate and selfless and faithful as he has been with you. You be with others, because this is who you are now. This is the way. This is the life that he has called you to. The resurrection means his glory and his praise and your eternal blessing. So celebrate his resurrection today and celebrate it every day. We're going to celebrate his death and resurrection for our blessing and his glory through communion right now. And if I've asked you, the men, I've asked you to help distribute communion. Please come forward at this time. But for the rest of you, if your sins were nailed to the cross, if they were buried with him, if you are alive to God in Christ Jesus, we invite you to join us for a special communion today with some special bread. If that's not you, if that has not happened to you. I want you to use this time to think about that. We ask you to abstain from communion today and consider, what do you believe? Who will pay for your sins? What is the purpose of your life? Who are you living for? Do you really want to live? I pray God that gives you the answers that lead you back to his Son, Jesus Christ, living and risen from the dead. Amen.